Hey guys, welcome back to another episode with Bree and Liz of Relatable Reality. This is week 800 of Scandoval. It feels like it's been my whole life now. Yeah. Even though it's been 2 weeks.
It really does. It really does. I don't know if I said this last week, but I started rewatching Vanderpump, episode 1, season 1. And I'm in the middle of season 2 now.
And it's so good.
It's so good, first of all. Second of all, it's like an Easter egg hunt because there's so many similarities between what is going on now and what was going on between Sandoval and Kristen's relationship. Right now, where I'm at, they're working through when he cheated on Kristen with a bottle service girl in Vegas because they hadn't had sex in 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. What's going to happen if one of you gets sick or have to have a surgery and you can't have sex? What happens when you freaking have a baby and can't have sex for 2 months? Is that all your relationship is? It's just fucking? That's it?
So, what scares me about rewatching, because I'm rewatching 2, but only from season 3, because I've rewatched Vanderpump probably once a year since it started.
Right.
And I restarted season 3 because I wanted to see From Miami Girl on. I was curious what that looked like and what that sounded like and was it believable?
How similar?
And for me, I'm slightly disappointed in I don't know if it's production or society or social media, but they totally convinced us that the girls were crazy. They totally convinced us that Kristen was crazy.
Yeah.
And she wasn't.
Yeah.
She was crazy because she's Kristen. But she was dead on with all of her assumptions. She always had it right.
I think Kristen looks crazy because of how intently she goes after a subject.
Mm-hmm.
She's like a dog with a bone. She never lets it go.
Right. It becomes overkill.
Right. Kristen, what do you want for lunch? Tom cheated on me.
Yeah.
Do you want Taco Bell or Chick-fil-A? Where are we going? Right. That's what makes Kristen so crazy for me. It's there's no conversation to be had without her talking about what's on her mind.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Even the first 2 episodes, I found myself, or in the first 2 seasons, the first season is Jax and Stassi, of course, dating and not dating and breaking up. And she's with Frank and this and that, off and on. And you want to believe Jax. The whole time. I knew he was lying the whole time. And still, the way that it's played out, no, Stassi just thinks he's a piece of shit. You want to believe him.
It's scary.
It's wild. It's wild.
Yeah. So I've been having a good time rewatching it, but it does feel like it's all consuming. I don't know. I'm so freaked out by Raquel. I'm so freaked out by her because I was on TikTok seeing clips of when Lala would go off on Raquel and remember the Bambi-eyed bitch moment and shit. And she's amazing. You're just dumb. I'm sorry. I just think there's nothing going on upstairs. It's just so fascinating how dead on some of these people were about these other people's character.
Yeah.
Because to us, it just looked like Lala was taking out her anger on Raquel. Didn't look like Raquel deserved the backlash, but clearly she had a feeling, you know?
Well, I even saw a clip today of Sheena's podcast, her Shenanigans podcast. It came up in a reel and she was like, I have had such a hard time because of Schwartz. She's like, this was one of my best friends.
Sheena said that?
Yes. She's like, I have been so so close to him. And she was like, I had a conversation with Lala and it really, she said it, basically she was saying it gave her the biggest reality check and it also broke her heart because she told Lala, she was like, I trusted Schwartz with everything. Mm-hmm. Like He was always there for me. He always had my back. She was like, he was my biggest donator as far as like any charities or anything. Like, he always cut me the biggest checks. He always like was there to support. And she knew
he was like a homie.
Right. And yeah. She said, but then Lala turned around and said, yeah, Randall did the same thing.
Ew, that just gave me the biggest ick of all time.
Right. And Sheena was like, she goes, I always give people the benefit of the doubt. And I always like want to trust somebody and believe them. And just like, and I always think that people have the best intentions forward. And she was like, this situation has made me reevaluate the way that I look at the world.
Yeah, it's pretty devastating.
Which is sad. Like, it's just a sad, she seemed defeated, which was sad to see.
Yeah, like she's brokenhearted over it.
Right.
And it's sad because, I mean, I get it because I was like a Schwartz person.
Dan.
Yeah, I loved him. I thought he was hilarious. I thought he was like chill enough, but cared enough. I don't know. But then like, as all this is hitting more and more, I'm like, oh, all these guys are exactly the same. Like, they're all out for themselves and the shtick just works. It just works. Yuck. Right. Yuck.
Like, and Raquel has the same shtick. Like, her shtick is, I'm an idiot, but she's really, like, conniving and backstabbing behind your back. And then she plays it off. She plays off the Bambi-eyed bitch.
I cannot believe she showed up. Okay, so let's get into this week's episode. She shows up to guys' night at the Mondrian. And poor James. Okay. This is the first time in a season where I haven't been like bothered by James. Like, for the first time, I'm like, yeah, he's valid in all of his thinking and all his
1000%. I don't find him repulsive.
Yeah.
James is amazing television.
No, he
amazing
is.
Amazing television.
And he know he is. And he knows he is.
He knows he is. He's great. His comments, his one-liners, his reactiveness, like, he's great TV. There's no denying it. Mm-hmm. But there is still a point in every season where I'm like, oh my God, just fucking leave me alone. Like,
but so I want to touch on James for a minute. I feel like he's been right for a really long time. And I'm wondering if, like, I think that him and Raquel were really in love and this and that. But do you wonder if on some level he started to notice some of the cracks and why that's why the relationship started to fall apart? Because, like, wouldn't you start to figure out after so long, like, wait, this girl is, like, a fan. Like, she's here to be on the show. Like, I was just the one that just so happened to
fall for it.
Yeah, because, like, remember all those times when, like, he was hurt by Katie or, like, whoever for leaving him out? And she'd be like, well, I want to get to know the girl, so I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And she, like, never had his back. It was always about, like, being a part of the show. Like, even, like you said last week with going on this divorce trip, like, why was Sheena there? Well, because she's gonna get that money, honey. Like, that's what she cares about. So part of me wonders, like, if one, Lala, because she was so close to James, could tell that Raquel had not good intentions or could tell that Raquel clung to him too quick, latched on too quick, whatever.
Right.
And then I also wonder if James started to get an inkling of it too. But anyways, that's just a question, I guess, that floats around in my brain. But like, this episode, when he gets up and leaves guys' night, I think is totally justified and valid and like the right thing to do.
1000%.
Yeah.
1000%. And honestly, if I was his girlfriend, I would respect him so much for being like, no, this is bullshit. This is not what I signed up for. This is not why I left my house to hang out with my ex-fiance. And I'm out. I'm done.
1000%. And not only that, but like, he has the excuse of it being work. Like, he could say, like, no, I'm sorry, I'm filming. Like,
right.
I throw my hands up. Sorry. Yeah, this is what it is. But the fact that he's like, no, I'm not good with this. I'm going to go. I just feel like we've seen how much he's grown. And I'm so impressed by it. I don't know. I'm just happy about it. I'm happy for him.
I am a little disappointed that he's drinking again, to be honest. But
same.
I don't know.
Yeah, same. So I also really like that at the end of the episode when Raquel is trying to pop off on Lala, how James kept going up and he was like very respectfully being like, please don't, like, why are you talking about me? Like, just leave my name out of it, you know? And I liked his approach that he was just like, I'm sorry, hold on. why do you keep bringing me up? Right. Like,
right.
It was like genuine concern. And I was just like, oh my God, I love watching James this season.
I enjoy him this season, for
he's
sure.
He's more level-headed. I really do think he cares about his girlfriend the way it looks like he cares about her. Like,
yeah.
I don't think this is a show. I think he genuinely, deeply, like, what's the word? Puts her first. And you can, I just feel like that's slightly different than how we've seen him before with girls, because it's always been about James. I'm the man.
However,
DJ James Kennedy.
I do think James is an addict on every single level.
Yeah. And
I think James gets addicted to who he's dating.
I think you're right. That's probably a good guess. Good assumption.
So he pours every single thing into who he's dating because it's his new addiction.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. So,
I think that's where he's at right now with Allie. Do I think that she's a nice girl? Yes. Do I think that she could be good for him? Yes. Do I think that he'll necessarily like stay this devoted forever? No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I see that. Okay. So let's get into the episode. So she walks into girls' night.
Guys' night.
And it's just like immediately everyone is concerned and what happened. And she just like was so proud of herself for going off on Lala or however she wants to say it.
Right, which she didn't really.
No. She tried to read Lala, but it was not what she wished it was.
Right. Like, she tried to read Lala like a little children's book, and Lala is much more advanced. And
yeah. She got a bark.
It didn't come across.
No. So I thought that was weird that she was like, I told Lala this. And like the guys were like, ooh, she doesn't like to be challenged. That makes you kind of hot for standing up to her and yada, yada. I'm like,
that was weird.
It's cringy. It's all so cringy.
And then did you also see at guys' night? I don't know who he was. It was like some guy sitting in the background. And every time Raquel would say something, he would like look at directly at Sandoval. Like, it's like he knew something was going on.
Who, Raquel or Schwartz?
It was like some guy in the background. I don't know who he was.
Oh, yeah, the guy next to Schwartz.
Yes.
Yes.
And he kept like eyeing both of them. Like, are we just going to like brush over what
we're going to act like everything's normal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was very interesting.
Yep. I don't know. Okay. I saw this thing on TikTok that said that she was suspicious of everything because in the promo, Ariana, sorry, I have a girl who works for me. Her name's Ari. Ariana, we call her Ari. Ariana and Tom Sandoval are separated when in every single other season ever, the couples, if they are a couple in real life, are always
together.
In the promo together. Always. Always. Every single one of them. So she was like, what the fuck? Why would they randomly be separated? And then all of a sudden, at the midway through the season, this big scandal breaks. Like, we didn't know they were breaking up. Is that a coincidence or is it not? So I don't know that it's, I don't know. It just seems odd. That's all I'm saying. It's odd.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about this Dom guy that Lala hooks up with.
Oh, my God.
That fool has fucking game. The things that flow out of his mouth, like he doesn't even have to think or try. And it's just like every girl in the room is melting.
Yeah. I get the draw to him. I thought that he looked a little rough around the edges.
Well, he was tatted from head to toe.
Yeah.
Head to toe tatted.
He looked like he had lived an adventurous life. And
I thought he was hot. Like, I'll just be honest. I thought he was hot. He reminds me of that guy from Good Girls that all the girls lust over. Boy from Good Girls. Like, that was his vibe to me.
Elizabeth.
Yeah. Come with me, mommy. Or whatever he says. But I just was dying at his game. I'm like, I've never been around. Like, you know that guy slept with hundreds of women. Hundreds.
Yeah. He was very charismatic.
Yes. And I was just like, I've never been around. Like, I don't think. Like, and this is no shade to anyone I know. But like, you know when you're just like, you have sex. Like, you could get sex anywhere, anytime.
Right.
No matter what came out of here. Like, it right. just was a different vibe, you know?
Right.
Like, they were talking about pizza.
Was different.
Yeah, they were talking about pizza. And he's like, do you like hot or cold pizza? And she's like, no, I like, if the food is supposed to be hot, I want it hot. He's like, yeah, hot and sweaty. Are you wet? Or something like that. Like, just like right. got into it. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We were just talking about pizza.
Yeah, then, hot and sweaty. Yep, that's it.
And then within like 3 minutes, they're heading upstairs. Like, that's all it took. Anyways, I just was impressed.
You also got to think, like, she hasn't been with anybody since she conceived her child. And her child's 3.
Bro, can we talk about that for a minute? How? Why was Lala with Randall? Like, was it purely money? Because she didn't even have good sex with him. Like, what?
I think that that time in Lala's life, I don't think she's like this now. But I think in that time of her life, she was all about the clout. Anybody that would give her attention, anybody that would dote on her, anybody. I do think, although I think Randall looks like a version of that little TLC guy from the 90 Day Fiancé show.
Ew.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, of course.
Even though Randall kind of looks like that guy and is ugly as fuck, mm-hmm. I think Randall probably uses his like stature in Hollywood to get people. I mean, there's a reason there's all these rumors about him. There's a reason people fall for who he is.
I know, I just don't get, as a chick, what keeps you there? Like, is it that charming and that charismatic? And like, I really think it must have been the fancy dinners, the celebrities, the money, the gifts.
Lifestyle. And I'm sure to a certain extent, she got comfortable at the house. She got comfortable with his children. She got comfortable. Like, there's a comfortability where you're like, well, you know, it kind of is what it is. And she was also drinking a shit ton. Mm-hmm. And she had, she said before, like, I had to get blackout to be able to do anything. So I don't know. I think it was just kind of where she was at in her life. And it was just like a reckless daddy issue thing.
Yikes. Scary girl. Scary. Well, yeah. So I get why Lala wanted to hook up with him 100%. Even if she had sex the day before, I would get it. Like, I would get it. So what about the meeting with Ariana and Katie and that business advisor?
Oh, the business lady?
I thought that meeting was dope.
I thought it was great. And I thought that that business advisor was really like, I thought she was very relatable, but also knew her shit. She was like, okay, do we have a location? Do we have a this? Like, what are we marketing here? What are we saving for? You need to show investors what they're investing in. Like, you can't just have a plan. You got to have actual product. So
I
really
love it. And I love the whole approach the girls are having to the business. Like, they're being so fucking smart. They're being so smart. Sitting with Lisa, getting everyone, like, asking everyone as many questions as possible, seeing a bunch, I don't know, just like not rushing, like these freaking moron men.
Well, they're learning what not to do from their fucking idiot spouses and boyfriends.
Thank God. Poor Katie, too. Like, at that pool party when everyone's like pressuring her to give Sheena's friend her room. Like, no offense, but like, that's on Sheena's friend.
I would have 1000% done the same exact thing Katie did. I would not have given up my room for somebody that didn't pre-plan.
No.
Sorry.
I totally agree. Like, that's not Katie's problem. And like, Sheena, I get that you don't want her to get there. Like, I get it. That would irk me too, to no end. But you don't have control over that. You have zero control over who is in the same vicinity as you, period.
It's a fucking resort, and you didn't pay to rent out the entire resort. Katie can be there if she fucking wants to. Mm-hmm. And Katie purchased that room when she was invited to your wedding. And just because you guys aren't getting along for 5 minutes doesn't mean she has to cancel her entire vacation.
I agree.
That's a Sheena problem. That is not a Katie problem.
And I didn't like that everyone was trying to convince her. And then fucking Schwartz is telling her she's being like selfish or whatever, no, self-centered or whatever.
Fucking
shitty. I'm like, what? Am I missing?
Fuck off.
Am I missing something here? Like, why is everyone ganging up on her? And I don't blame her for leaving. And then that was sad when she was like, I thought like when we weren't together anymore, he would treat me like everyone else and have my back because I thought it was like a, oh, well, my stupid wife thing. And she's like, no, it's just a me thing. And that made me sad for her.
Yeah, it was sad. I felt bad for Katie.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really liked Katie.
Never.
To be honest, I've never really liked her. I've always thought she was a fucking bitch. But I have this season felt bad for her because you can definitely tell that she's trying to make her divorce with Shorts as comfortable and like easy flowing for everybody else, even though she's dying inside and not comfortable at all. And she's, it's very obvious that she's trying to not ruffle feathers and she's trying to like keep shit together. And she's like, you can tell. And everybody's just like, well, you're not enough. So too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Let me, you're trying to keep the friendship together, but let me push my friend onto your husband right in front of you.
Yeah, this is so annoying. You know what I will say, though, is karma is a fucking bitch. Because these boys are about to burn to the ground in every way. In every way. And thank God these girls can get out. Like, thank God Katie was already divorcing him before the Scandoval thing happened. Thank God. And thank God Ariana never married him. Because they would be pulled down into their rabbit hole of death, I guess.
Right.
Together.
Yeah.
So that's what those boys deserve, man. Like, and I'm sorry. Like, I get the whole, like, it's not about the location, but, like, the fact that they're in a strip mall. You know what I mean? Like, it's just too comical. Like, it's too ironic. Right.
I agree.
Too forced.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, like, it's not... That's more of, like, a Denny's type thing.
Yeah! It's not like Schwartz and Sandy is like, I'm on a reality TV show. It's like, I don't know. They're across from a vet. Like, it's not like this pretty, like, street or strip or anything.
Well, and even if it is in a strip mall, okay, fine, but it's not in, like, this cute strip mall with, like, fun places or like cute little coffee shops or like anything like no, it's just kind of a run down strip mall.
Exactly. So
they also taped, so we're recording on Friday this week. They taped the reunion yesterday on Thursday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sheena obviously had to be separated from Raquel. They had two different seating charts because they couldn't be on the stage at the same time. I thought that it was super shitty with the seating chart that they put Raquel sitting in between Sandoval and Schwartz, and they're sitting directly across from Ariana. I'm like,
somebody really was bold. Somebody was really bold. Like, that is fucked up.
Fucked. Like, are you kidding?
I would be.
If I was Ariana, I'd be so
livid. I would be, yeah, whatever. Ariana, honestly, like, I am so amped for her glow up. Did you see she's already, like, booked a Lifetime movie role?
Yeah, I'm obsessed. Yeah.
I'm obsessed.
Imagine that. You dump this piece of shit, and literally a month later, you're already booking a movie role.
That's literally all she needed. I really hope that she becomes, you know, everything that she can be, because he's a goddamn loser.
Loser.
Okay, so we need to talk about the fact that the mid-season trailer dropped.
Can I just tell you, I have lost track of how many times I've watched it.
Girl, after I watch it, I literally feel like dropping my phone and running outside.
Right.
Just felt like, holy fuck, you shit. I don't know what to do with myself right now. Like,
okay, here we are. What are we doing? What are we doing?
Literally, I was like, no, there's nobody here I can talk to about this. Like, obviously, I'm blowing you up. I sent it to my mom. Like, I sent it to Sam. I was like, I know you don't get it, but you have to watch it. I don't care.
We were sitting at, Chris and I were sitting at dinner the other night, and I, like, pulled it up again to watch it again. And I was like, but look at this. And he was watching. He's like, okay, but I don't know what this means, because I don't know who any of these people are. Like, this is a big deal.
No, this is life-changing. I just want you to know. Like, the way that they edited that shit, girl, like, that final moment where it's, like, Sandoval asking Ariana, can I get you anything? And she says, what? What did she say? You can die?
He said, do you need anything? And she said, for you to die.
Yeah. And then the music, oh. I was just like, oh my, dark.
And she's like, when she's, they're like fighting and he's begging, literally saying the exact same lines that he says in season two to Kristen. Exact. And she's like, you're not worth one drop of my tear. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh. Preach it, sister.
Ew, I got chills just thinking about it. What a piece of fucking shit that man is.
Ugh.
Like, disgusting. What an actual piece of shit.
I hate to admit this, but I've been seeing a lot. Obviously, Jax and Brittany were on Watch What Happens Live on Wednesday, and I haven't had time to watch it because
okay.
I'm a bad person. But
I want to say something really quick before you say this.
Okay.
I don't love Jax and Brittany. I'm entertained by them now, right. But I'm still like so irked by them because they stayed so silent on social media, didn't go on their stories, didn't put anything up about this thing. They only shopped it out. Like,
Of course they did. It's Jax Taylor.
They did an interview of people. They went on Watch What Happens Live. They did an E! News. I'm like, these motherfuckers, dude.
It's Jason, Jax Taylor, Couchy. Like, what You're else right. do you expect?
You're right. Go ahead.
Okay, so they were on Watch What Happens Live, and I've obviously seen clips of what has happened. And I hate to admit that I actually agree with Jax.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Never thought that was going to happen or come out of my mouth ever. But I think Jax is right. I think that Sandoval likes Raquel because he can control Raquel and he can't control Ariana. Mm-hmm. And Ariana's her own person and she has her own mind. And Tom Sandoval wants to control somebody and he wants to manipulate them into doing whatever he wants and whatever he thinks. And the Bambi-dyed bitch is the one that you could do it with.
So I didn't watch What Happens Live either, but Jax also said on there that he's been cheating on Ariana for years, that Sandoval has, and that Schwartz has known about it. And so I'm just curious, like, what we're going to find out this reunion, like, how honest everyone's going to be, what everyone's going to cop to, and, like, are they really going to be buried, like everyone's saying right. they were?
I'm just telling you right now, if this is okay. if this is not a fucking 3 or more episode reunion, I am going to be livid.
Right. I don't want it. Like, give us every tiny little detail, every commercial right. break, every behind the scenes, restroom break.
I will watch 10 hours of this reunion if you play it from the time they walked in to the time they walked out.
No, literally everyone on social media is like, I need a live stream of this reunion. Like, I cannot yes. wait. We cannot. They better be editing that thing in 5 minutes.
Oh, we just barely got the mid-season trailer.
I cannot wait for the reunion 7 weeks
of this shit.
Oh my god. Oh my god. So good though, friend. It's so good.
I know. I'm obsessed. Okay.
Okay. Well, that's enough Vanderpump talk.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I don't even remember, but like when you were sending me these updates, but I was just gone for most of yesterday at Aaron's house. And then we went to the concert. And right. so I was kind of like MIA from the world. God damn.
Talking's hard.
It's so hard. So you're sending me all these updates about all the shows that were out like yesterday. And I'm like, bitch, I don't know what's happening. Like, I barely caught up on Scandoval today. And it was like, oh my God, they just dropped all 3 episodes of Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip. And I'm like, oh damn, okay, sweet. Oh my God, the new season of Housewives. Why is that? And I was just like, I can't. It's too much.
I know. I was like, oh shit. Girls Trip dropped, so obviously I have to watch that immediately.
Right.
And then I got an email from Netflix that was like, Love is Blind season 4 has, like, you know how now they're dropping, you know, a couple episodes here, a couple episodes there. So they dropped their first
dicks.
Like block of episodes. And I'm like, oh my, here we are. This is all I'm just going to watch TV. That's how I'm going to live from here on out because there's so much shit on TV now.
Right. This is what I will do. Like, even yesterday was when I was getting ready at Aaron's for the concert. I was like, okay, I'm going to put on the show. Why do my makeup? It just like played in the back and I didn't watch one second.
Any of it. Any of it.
And then I would be like, oh shit, I forgot I was watching this.
Oopsie.
I had no time. So anyway, so I did get around to watching the first episode of The Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip.
What do you think?
I felt like meh. I don't know. I'm hoping it amps up. I'm annoyed.
Yeah.
I am just annoyed because, like, Heather is just a completely different person than, like, we thought she was going to be, I feel like. Or she's changed.
Sure.
Or maybe she's changed or something. But I just cannot stand her. I just cannot stand her.
So I watched all three of the first episodes. And production does amazing for Heather. Well, not for Heather, but.
For the viewer, for Heather, of Heather. Viewer
for Heather, of Heather. Because, you know, Heather's favorite thing is to be like, I never heard that. I do not remember that. I never heard that. And so she's done that. She does that a couple times. And production plays back to, you know, 24 hours earlier where she was in that conversation, very engaged in the conversation, talking about this subject.
I really, truly don't remember that. I'm so sorry. Yeah, right.
Right.
And the whole thing she says to Leah is fucking creepy as fuck.
It's weird.
It is fucking creepy that she said, I read your book about being an addict and having all these substance abuse problems. And then makes a comment about, like, let's get Leah to drink.
Right.
What?
Right. That's why Leah was like, are you trying to murder me? Like, are you literally, like, what?
Like, what's the purpose here?
I think because Heather's been so sheltered her entire life, she doesn't fully grasp the gravity of how deep somebody's addiction could be.
Maybe.
Like.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I just can't stand her. I'm like kind of low-key annoyed that she's on here. And I get why Whitney's over her. She's like, look at how far she went to back up Jen Shaw. And she like threw me to the wolves immediately. Okay, so
I didn't realize when this was filmed, it was literally two days after Jen Shaw
pled guilty.
It was less than or about 6 months after Whitney and Heather got into their massive blow up. It was just weeks after Potomac finished filming and Candace and Giselle were at each other's throat the entire time. Like, all of this is very fresh.
Yeah, it's prime. It's prime time.
Very fresh, right.
And Alexi and Marisol, too.
Right. Marisol's sick the entire time.
Does she stay sick?
Yeah, she goes to the set, like the production team. You'll see it. They show it. But she goes to the production team's, like, paramedic. And the paramedic's like, I'm pretty sure you have an ulcer.
Oh, shit.
And she's just fucking pounding vodka like it's water.
Okay.
Like, I don't really like water. I just drink alcohol. What?
Hold on. Low key. I want to be Marisol when I grow up. Like, that is literally me if I could. Like, drink all day. Yes, absolutely, I would do that. But, like,
she
it's
a problem.
1,000%. But look at how good she looks, dude. Get the fuck.
It was also. Cares?
Your life is over. Like, not that your life is over, but you know what I mean? Like, what do you have to gain from not drinking?
Right. It was. Honestly, I don't know exactly what episode it came up in because I watched them all just like back to back, but shocking. But
I don't want to comment. I was just like, okay.
But Marisol talks about why she doesn't have children.
And
she was like, I always wanted kids. Like, having kids was always something that I had always wanted. And she was like, but when I got older, I was diagnosed with a congenital thing and my uterus never formed properly.
What?
So she's like, I literally, like, medically, I could not have children.
That she just said that?
Yes. And it made me feel really bad for her.
Well, now the drinking makes sense.
Well, she also talked about her mom. she talks about her mom, and she was like, my mom was beautiful. And she was like, and I didn't want to do Miami when it started because I knew my mom would want to be a part of it because she loved all of that kind of stuff. And she was like, I was so afraid of the world making fun of her. She was like, I wasn't ignorant to the fact that my mom ruined her face.
Oh, no.
She was like, my mom was stunning. She was like, people would stop her on the streets. She was beautiful. And they showed flashback pictures and her mom was drop dead.
What happened to her face? Just a bad...
She said that her mom wanted to get plastic surgery, but that she had cardiac problems. And so she couldn't go under anesthesia for like elective procedures. And she just overdid it, so far overdid it on bad Botox. And it ruined her.
That's so sad.
Yeah. And Marisol was like, I didn't want her to be filmed originally because I didn't want people to make fun of her.
I get that. Marisol
actually opens up and she's very relatable, which she's not always like that on Miami.
Never. You never hear about her. I'm so excited to see that.
It does get better, but the third episode is a yacht party. They go on a yacht and I think we all know how the housewives are on boats. It's not a good combination to have housewives on a boat. And they literally, production has like rounds, like round one, this person versus this person, round two, this person versus this person. Like the whole thing is fighting. Everybody's fighting. Like, and as soon as one fight stops, another one picks up someplace else.
I can't wait. I cannot wait. I need to finish it.
It's a mess.
Okay. Yeah. I just pulled up the photo of her mom before. Is this it?
Yes. Wow. Beautiful.
I mean, do you think that... It just makes me wonder, like, at what point do people go, I need to not do this?
Well, I think that when Botox first started coming out, like there's been a lady on that show, Botched, and she's like, people have like know who she is, where she got Botox. Bad. They were doing like a Botox party. It was bad Botox and it ended up being partially concrete.
What?
Yes.
What?
Because it was like a filler for the Botox instead, because the Botox product was expensive. And so she went to this party, like an at home, like a fucking Mary Kay party, but for Botox, and it was shitty Botox. So I think that was like a thing for a while.
Yeah. Early days.
Yeah. It's like the early days of Botox before it was really like discovered and perfected and all of that. And I mean, people ruin themselves and it's sad.
Damn. Cause she just looks so, I forgot how she looked.
Yeah.
Sad. Okay. That's very sweet though. I'm excited to see a different part of Marisol.
Yeah, it's nice. And then of course she's still, you know, pounding alcohol and
wait, do her and Alexia
stomach ulcer.
Are they the ones that get into it?
Her and Alexia don't get into it.
Oh, okay.
But Heather and Whitney get into it. Portia and Giselle get into it with Candace. Portia and Giselle get into it with Leah. Leah gets into it with everybody. Leah and Alexia get into it.
Like,
it's a mess.
Well, alrighty then.
Candace makes sure that she does a full Broadway performance for everybody.
I can't with this girl. She needs to stop with the pop star bit.
That she lip syncs over a track that sounds like it's in a fucking like 1997 CD player. She's just lip singing over it.
Oh my God.
The track even skips and it's just silent for a while and she's lip singing, not the old voice is coming out.
You're lying.
She's still dancing away, dancing all over. And then the song comes back on. She's still lip singing the whole time.
Oh my God.
Like fucking Ashley Simpson on SNL. Like,
oh my God. That was so bad. That was so bad.
Oh man.
Fucking Ashley Simpson. I'm excited for the girls trip. I wasn't like overly excited for any one person to be there. Were you?
No. This is the lady that had the concrete in her face.
Holy shit, dude. That's terrifying.
No, I wasn't overly excited. I wasn't. This cast to me is odd. Now, once I started watching it, I loved having Portia because Portia's like, I watch these shows. Like, I'm a fan of these shows and it's kind of nice to like, be in it.
She's like the commentator.
Right. And it's, she's funny as fuck.
Yeah,
she is. So funny. They also have this, I think I like the assistant more than I like any of the housewives.
Pepsi. Okay. Can we just talk about real quick how shitty Leah's room was for real?
Terrible. Well, can we just talk about how shitty the the house is beautiful. The location where you can't even pull in the driveway because it's too steep. So they park the Sprinter vans at the bottom of this steep ass hill and they have to walk up and down it to go anywhere.
Right. I was like, no, fuck that.
No. Just Giselle, every time she walks up and down, she's like, I probably look raggedy as hell walking up and down this.
They need to get a go-kart or something to take them up.
Like a golf cart to go up and down this little hill.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
It's ridiculous.
What did I say? Go-kart?
Like they're Mario Brothers.
Oh my God, I'm so tired. Holy shit. Okay, so I thought it was fucking annoying that Giselle's like, speak English. Don't speak Spanish. Speak English. Like, bitch, stop. You can't tell somebody to not speak in their native language. Like, you just can't. That's so fucking rude, dude.
I agree, but she explains it in the second episode. So keep watching.
Oh, she does?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She explains why. And it makes sense. And being married into a family that speaks another language, and then you walk in and they speak some in English and some in Spanish, and you're like, you automatically feel like you're being judged.
Excluded. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like when you go to the nail salon and they look at you and then they start talking in their native language. Like, okay, well, do my feet stink? Like, I'm not sure what's happening. Like, what is wrong?
Yeah. I dealt with that too with one of the dad's families. Like, they would go into Spanish and I knew they were talking about me because I knew enough Spanish to kind of know what was being said.
Right.
But I just was like, whatever. Like, if I knew another language, I'd probably be doing the same shit. So,
right.
But then I like, okay, so I must have seen part of episode 2 because I did see where she apologizes to Alexia and Marisol. So is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. So she just said, I'm sorry, basically apologizes. And I'm sorry that I made a big deal about it. And she was like, my twin daughters are fluent in Spanish and they talk about me in Spanish in front of me because they know I can't speak Spanish.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
She's like, I know they're talking about me and they laugh in front of me because they're talking Spanish. And she's like, so honestly, it's just kind of a trigger for me. Like,
yeah, that makes sense.
I get bullied in Spanish by my children at home and I don't want to be bullied on a girls trip in Spanish here.
How fucking funny was it though that they would put the translation and then they put Giselle, then put the translation according to Giselle. And it's like her face looking around all paranoid. It's nothing to do with her whatsoever.
I know.
Oh my God.
I genuinely don't think Marisol and Alexia realize how much they speak in Spanish.
No, because everyone on their show and probably in their homes and in their community are the same way.
Right.
So I don't think it's a derogatory, on purpose thing. I think it's just
Right. Well, and my mother-in-law said, she's like, words don't translate the same. She's like, there are Spanish words that there's no English translation.
Yeah, I get that.
So I'm sure it's the same for Alexia and Marisol. Like they know what they want to say in Spanish, but it doesn't translate. So they just say it in Spanish.
Right. Or certain phrases or certain not characters, but historians and stuff. So I get that for sure. But freaking Giselle, she's just, and then I like how Marisol or Lexi, I forget which one said it, but they were like, I've learned that you like to ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
That is Giselle. That's totally her.
The whole girls trip. She's just sitting there with a big old spoon.
Yeah.
The whole pot all over the place.
I know. Telling all about what her and Heather's conversation was or whatever.
She does it every single time. Every time there's a lull in the conversation, she's like, well, I heard.
Yeah.
What you said. Shut the fuck up, Giselle. Just shut up.
Well, I hate them all, so it's great.
I hate them all.
No, I'm just not overly amped on any of them, but I think it'll be good drama.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Last thing I want to touch on. Or second to last, I can't remember. But the Selena Gomez and Hailey drama is back. Mm-hmm. So this morning, Selena issued something on her story about, like, let me read it. It says, Hailey Bieber reached out to me and let me know that she has been receiving death threats and such hateful negativity. This isn't what I stand for. No one should have to experience hate or bullying. I've always advocated for kindness and really want this all to stop. So when I saw that, I was like, this is weird. This is weird because why would it say Hailey Bieber reached out to me and let me know that she's been receiving death threats? Why would, I don't know. It just seems so forced.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. It felt so forced. And then Hailey went on her story and said, I want to thank Selena for speaking out. As her and I have been discussing the last few weeks, how to move past this ongoing narrative between her and I. The last few weeks have been very hard for everyone involved, and millions of people are seeing so much hate around this, which is extremely harmful. While social media is an incredible way to connect and build community, moments like this only create extreme division together, or instead of bringing people together. Things can always be taken out of context or construed differently than they were intended. We all need to be more thoughtful about what we post and what we say, including myself. In the end, I believe love will always be bigger than hate and negativity. And there is always an opportunity to meet each other with more empathy and compassion. And then they both refollow each other on Instagram.
It all sounds like a PR stunt.
Like, it literally sounds like like Selena had to say something nice or had to address it in some way because it was getting so bad, or like, I don't know. It just feels like forced from the Bieber side.
Yeah, for sure.
And I 1,000,000% believe that the way that Hailey Kendall and Kylie are being perceived online is true. I do think they come off like mean girls. I do think they come off very clicky, very you can't sit with us vibes.
For sure. I agree.
And part of this might even be Kris Jenner, you know, meddling and being like, yo, you guys got to clean this shit up because now we're being dragged down with it. And so I just find it all to be fucking phony baloney. And that's fine, just like everything else in Hollywood. But it just doesn't even feel, it doesn't even feel like kind of believable.
No, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't feel legit.
Like 0%. 0%. So weird. Super weird.
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 Do you listen to the Jeff Lewis at all?
Why?
They, Heather McDonald, Megan. You know, Jeff's friend, Megan, and yeah. Jeff's ex-boyfriend all went to Kelly Dodd and Rick Leventhal's house in Palm Springs this past weekend. I know.
Gage?
No, not Gage. His last boyfriend, Stu.
Okay.
Chef Stu. Oh. So they all went to Kelly Dodd's house this past weekend, and fucking Heather and Megan got into it, and Megan, I guess, was going off on Heather and like saying the most, like, Heather did a Patreon about it. I obviously didn't pay for the Patreon, but basically she was saying like it was the most hateful and disturbing things she said that she had ever heard in her entire life that Megan was saying. She was like, it was straight out of like hate and anger, and she was like, I will never be friends with Megan again. I will never go back on Jeff Lewis's podcast. She was like, Heather was saying this. Heather was like, I love Jeff and Jeff and I will remain friends. She was like, however, Megan made it very, very well known to me that she wanted me to know that the people at the Jeff Lewis podcast and people in that circle did not like me and they put up with me because I was friends with Jeff only. And
what the fuck? I've never liked Megan. I've always thought she seemed like a fucking weirdo.
I guess it was super fucking intense. Like I listened to Heather McDonald's podcast from last Monday because it happened this past weekend.
Okay.
She very briefly talked about it at the beginning of the episode and she was in tears.
Damn. Like
she had to take a break and pull herself back together.
Damn.
Wild. Then Megan was on Jeff's podcast talking about how sorry she was and blah, blah, blah.
Whatever.
Heather was like, I don't accept her apology because it was days later. Like, she couldn't apologize the next day. She couldn't, like, she apologized because I went to social media. Like, I went to my podcast with it. She was like, she just apologized because it was aired out. She didn't apologize because I feel like she's actually sorry.
Who cares? Who cares? Heather seems like a fucking freak.
They both do.
Yeah, they do. Oh my God. Toxic.
Yeah.
Toxic. Okay, so we can touch on it real quick, I guess. The whole, like, thought I had last week about marriage or why do people get married. I guess for me, because I am one divorced and two, like, come out of a broken engagement, I just don't believe anybody anymore. Like, I just think everyone's full of fucking shit. Like, why should I believe that you really mean what you're saying?
Right.
Like, why? But beyond that, it is so fucking scary. And unless, like, you feel the way you feel in your relationship, obviously, and clearly I don't, not that I don't know what that feels like, but it's different. I can't relate to it.
Right.
It scares me, the thought of, like, the legality part of it and the financial part of it. And, like, I've just worked so hard to be independent and not, like, need to have somebody co-sign on my car or need somebody, you know, in order to get stuff in life, like, to be okay by myself. Like, I don't know. It's just, why? For what? Because then when you get divorced, it's 8 times harder to get divorced than it is to get married. 8 times harder.
1,000%. 1,000%. I understand where you're coming from. I like the comfort of a marriage. I think that it's, to me, it's more symbolic than just a piece of paper.
Totally.
So I like that. But I'm also more old school on a lot of things. So I don't know. I like the whole concept of it. I like the whole concept of, like, you're building together as a team.
Yeah.
Now, I also haven't been, you know, fucked over like you have multiple times. So that.
Right.
Could, like, I totally understand where you're coming from, where you're like, no, I've been in a marriage and it sucked. And I've been engaged and that sucked too.
Well, my thing is, like, it's just the legality of it scares me now because of how hard I've had to work to be okay alone. And like the way that I've been manipulated and fucked over financially, I'm like, I don't understand what the thrill of that is unless I was, like, marrying a millionaire or something, you know? Right. Like,
well, I think that's part of where I've never been taken advantage of in that way. And also when Christian and I got married, we had nothing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Whatever we gain.
True.
Since we've been together will be equally us gaining it together.
Which is different because you've built it together.
Right.
And that's so, a different sentiment.
Right. I also, like, I know that if Christian and I were to get divorced tomorrow, neither one of us would be like, no, fuck you. Get out of here. I need everything. Like,
I know that neither of you would do that to each other. I know that, but
like, that's not what the heart that either of us have. However, some people are like that. And so it is scary.
Well, all I'm going to say is, speaking from experience, like, a different side of people and their families come out in a divorce or a custody case or whatever. And it's like, all of a sudden, like, oh, this is really who you are. Wow. That's terrifying that you could hide it that well for that long. And that's not the case for you guys at all. Cause you would know.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then like, my other thing is, how much longer do you think marriage will be not like a thing, but like the majority? Because I feel like for our generation, kind of, and then the younger generation, which this might not be totally true, but I just don't see them as obsessed with the idea of marriage as like, or like it's not as pushed on them as much as it was when we were children. Like,
no, it's not for sure.
The whole idea of getting married, like that's what that, well, there was no other point. You know what I mean? It was right. Kind of like the, in the fairy tales, in the shows, in the movies, like it was everywhere.
I think, I don't know. I think part of that is like a trend type thing. I don't think marriage is part of the trend anymore. And so people are comfortable with not being married, and that's fine. I don't judge people one way or the other. If you want to get married, great. If you don't want to get married, that's your choice. Like it doesn't, to me, it doesn't matter. But I do definitely think that marriage is like a trend, and just like with every other trend, they come and go. And so do I think marriage right now is not like the number one thing on everybody's mind? No, I don't think so. But I also think that part of that has to do with like the finances of everybody. Like,
yeah,
it's fucking expensive to get married. Yeah. I did it probably the cheapest way you possibly can, and it still cost me thousands. Like, it's still expensive.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, everything right now is a little terrifying.
So it's crazy to think. I mean, if you're going to have like a legit, I mean, we went to a courthouse, but if you're going to have a legit like ceremony and a legit reception and DJs and this and that, I mean, you're talking $20,000-$30,000. People don't have that money.
No. And if they do, they would rather get a house at this point.
Or invest it or whatever, like a car or something like that. Like they're not spending it on weddings anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. So that was just my whole sentiment is I'm like, I just don't always see the why anymore. Like 1,000%. I love that. The idea of that commitment. And I think that that's something that is just innate in like a relationship where you're deeply in love and like, you want to feel like.
You feel like it's the next step.
You feel like, okay, this is next level commitment. So it's not just that I'm like, I don't know, renting the car. Like I'm buying the car. Like I want the car.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know. There's just a next level of commitment. And I do love that idea, but the legality part of it and the being tied together and the amount of work it takes to leave scares the shit out of me.
Yeah. I think that's part of the mentality though, of why people don't get married because now it's always like they want to know where the exits are. Yeah. Well, that hasn't always been the case previously.
But, and we don't have to go into this right now. We can carry this on in another episode. But I was going to say the reason, like, if you want to go decades back, the reason women stayed in relationships is because they had to. They had to stay. They didn't have their own bank account. They didn't make their own money. Right, they didn't. Of course. They couldn't stand on their own 2 feet. So if their man cheated, okay, I don't know what to do though.
Right.
Like, you know, so, and then, you know, as.
Well, and people got married, like, for instance, my grandma, my dad's mom, she was married. She had 5 kids. Her youngest one was 18 months old and her husband died. She got married.
Holy shit.
She got married 3 months later because she was like, I have to support these fucking kids.
Yeah, and that was the only way to do it.
That was the only way to do it. And so she did.
Holy fucking shit, dude. That's so wild to think about.
Her kids were like, they were young. They were like maybe 7 to 18 months old.
Yeah.
5 kids. Like, she was never going to be able to support them, a single woman on her own in the early 60s. There's no way in hell. No way in hell.
Okay, and then one more thing. I guess like within these last couple of years and like, you know, with the Scandoval thing and like other stuff that just happens that you see, I just feel like everyone that you see that's like, oh, that white picket fence and like the man and the wife and they're happy and whatever, like that's bullshit. That's bullshit. And there's always something more going on that nobody wants to talk about. Nobody wants to cop to. Nobody wants to admit. Mm-hmm. And that scares me too. That absolutely scares me. Because like every single human is flawed. And I don't care if I live with you until the day I die. Like I don't care if you and I are best friends. And like till the day we die. Like there are things we will never know. And that's just normal. Right. But when you are committed to somebody for your entire life, like, it's just terrifying. I don't know. Damn. I should have probably never started the antidepressants, and then I would never have, like, all these, like, clear thoughts about the world. Thank God. Okay, we're going to wrap it on that now, everyone.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining us for another episode of Relatable Reality. Always on Instagram at Relatable Reality Podcast and iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Apple Podcast app. Our link tree, not LinkedIn, our link tree is still up and going. You can get to the podcast from there. It's in our bio on our Instagram. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week, guys.
Bye.